It's time for another edition of the Sports Chumps on 88.1 FM, WELH.
Ortiz fights it off center field. Damon run into the plate, and he can keep on running to New York.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted. One moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo.
And now there's a steal by Bird. Underneath the DJ, he lays it in. Might have 1 second left. What a play by Bird.
Welcome back to the Sports Chumps, episode 36 on 88.1 FM, WELH Providence. Mikey Nails, my broadcast partner. I'm Dean the Dream. We're getting it done here a little early in the week for us.
We are early in the week. We are making it happen early. I figured we could get the show in for the early birds. This is the early bird special, episode number 36 of the Sports Chumps.
And I think it's fitting, Nails, because, you know, a lot of stuff happened over the weekend in sports. I mean, we're going to get into a lot of the topics with NBA All-Star Weekend. Did you like it? Did you not? Was it a joke? But, of course, a lot of stuff happened there. And then, of course, you had the incident, that ugly incident in college basketball. We're going to get into that.
Yes.
And, of course, the PC Friars, the new polls are out this week. The Friars come back, win a thriller in overtime. We're going to talk about that. Of course, we talked about Villanova last week, so we're talking the stretch run here as the college basketball season's winding down, and before you know it, it's March Madness. So we've got a lot here. We've got this day in sports history, Chump of the Week, a lot of stuff. Of course, the Chump of the Week, it stems from that ugly incident in college basketball on Sunday. So Dreamin' Nails here, episode 36, getting it done in the cave/studio.
This is the President's Day edition.
Wow, nice.
Happy President's Day to all of our loyal listeners and all of our new listeners.
I like it. Solid. I like it. And obviously, if you want to contact Dream or Nails, obviously, you can email us at thesportschumps@gmail.com. You can pick up all of our episodes on Spotify. Just click the link.
The link is up on thesportschumps.com, which is our website.
All right. We're gonna dive right into it.
All 35 episodes are up right now. Number 36 will be up by Friday.
Yeah,
it will be live. This show is gonna be on 88.1 FM WELH Thursday night at 8 p.m. So if anyone is local and you listen to the radio, tune in to 88.1 FM.
And I just want to make it clear, my broadcast partner lately has been on this little fixated thing about the numbers every week. It's if it's episode 33, it's Larry Bird. If it's episode 34, we did a little sweetness with Walter Payton. Episode 35 last week, who'd we have? We were scraping. We had a little like Frank Thomas. Oh, I told
Silas.
You. No, I told you the best 35 was Ricky Henderson.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of course, with the Oakland Athletics, yeah. And then he went on to wear different numbers, 24.
Absolutely.
Played even in 2002 with the Boston Red Sox, and I think he wore 35 then.
I agree.
So this, obviously, we're in episode 36 here, Dreamin' Nails, getting it done, early edition. And of course, we think 36, we think of, I don't know, we have to really scrape
for
36. Jerome Bettis was the best name you mentioned.
The bus.
So if we can come up with a couple more before the end of the show, we'll throw them your way. But we're going to jump right into All-Star Weekend. This was a mixed bag. You and I are old school NBA fans. We go back to the 70s, late 70s, early 80s when it was really something. And I got to be honest with you, some of the gimmick tournaments, whether it's the dunk contest or the 3-point contest. I'm sorry, Michael. I didn't watch it religiously, but it really didn't do it for me.
Well,
how did you feel about it?
The 3-point contest, we're going to get that out of the way quick, was won by a center. You made that. You told me this earlier, and the winner was Karl-Anthony Towns. A center won the three-point contest. We're going to leave it at that.
Well, let's give him a little credit. I'm just saying that means he can shoot the basketball.
Yes.
So, I mean, but that's the that's the way the NBA is today, Michael. So you got your 7 foot. Is he 6'11", 7 feet?
Yeah.
He's been a great player for a long time on a bad team in Minnesota. Obviously, he's had a lot of tragedy. He lost a handful of family members to COVID last year. But he's a nice ball player. I'd like to see him on another team in a better market, give him a chance to win. He's a good ball player. But obviously, he wins the slam dunk contest when I believe he hit 29. And I think, what did I say, slam dunk?
Yeah, three
sorry.
Points. That's okay.
And he wins the three-point contest with 29 made threes. And I think that was a record. So I guess our guy LB in the 80s didn't even make 29.
Well, I'm gonna give my opinion on LeBron James, one of the greatest players ever, but he is not the GOAT. He has never been in a slam dunk contest.
And of course, if you're the fan, you want to see the names. You want to see the names. You want to see the back in the day. You saw Dominique. You saw Jordan. As they got more prominent in their careers and more established, they stopped doing it also because, of course, you risk injury. But you want to see the big names. So obviously, we're gonna put it to bed with the 3-point contest. Karl Anthony Towns, congratulations, you won the contest.
Yes, and I'm just gonna make this quick. My opinion is, if a center is winning the 3-point contest, then that tells you how much the NBA has changed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, of course, if Steph Curry, who we're going to talk about in a little while from the game, if Steph Curry was in it, you're looking at a whole different... I'm sure Curry was in it 5, 6, 7 years ago when he wasn't an absolute stud superstar in his early days in his career. So I'm sure Curry and Thompson, Klay Thompson, those guys have all done it. But the dunk contest, we're going to move on to that right now. I thought that was an abomination. I have never seen anything so poor. I don't know what to make of it, Michael. You had 4 guys in it. I believe it was Cole Anthony, son of Greg Anthony.
Yes. He put on a pair of Timberland boots and did a dunk.
That was just ugly. Guys were missing left and right. The kid, yeah. Jalen Green, who's going to be a nice player, came out of the G League last year, the G Ignite team, and he's the first round pick of the Houston Rockets. Guys were missing dunks left and right. The kid won, I think it was Juan Toscano-Anderson. I liked some of the creativity. I will say this.
Yes.
He plays for Golden State, and he wore a Jason Richardson jersey, which I guess Jason Richardson was in the dunk contest years ago and played for Golden State.
Yes.
I like those little things that give me a little bit something to... it's enjoyable. But the actual dunks were terrible.
Awful. Awful selection of dunks.
And, of course, the winner of the dunk contest was New York Knicks forward. Second-year player was Obi Toppin.
But he did... Obi Toppin won the dunk contest with...
Huh? By default.
By default, but his last dunk was he tapped the backboard and he dunked it. That was done 20 years ago.
Well, do you think maybe I'm just saying, like, everything is a game, so obviously the goal is for him to win. So if he did something very pedestrian and very average, don't you think that there's a chance that obviously he knew he was going to win, and obviously the goal was to make sure he made the dunk so crazy? I'm just saying, I don't know. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Safe.
I couldn't
he was playing
watch
it safe. I believe the person to tap the backboard. And then Duncan, I believe, was Kenny the Jet Smith. He tapped the backboard in the left corner, and then he reversed it. I'm almost positive.
Well, it's funny, because as you were saying Kenny the Jet Smith, you're talking about a former Rockets guy who works for TNT now. When you said Kenny, I was thinking of Kenny Skywalker out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
He was a money guy in the dunk contest when it really mattered.
Did
back
the Statue
in the
of Liberty 360.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something about Obi. And
those of you who don't know what the Statue of Liberty 360 is, because we probably have some young listeners out there.
Yeah.
I believe he took off a little bit after the free throw line with one hand. He did a 360 in the air, Statue of Liberty, 360.
Yeah, and he didn't get the nickname Skywalker, for not jumping through the ceiling. That was his MO. Didn't turn out to be a great pro, but he was a high flyer most of his years with the New York Knicks.
Right.
But Michael, I was want to talk about, and I always say, when I talk about this kid, Obi Toppin, I don't know whether it's Toppin or Toppin, but I think it's Obi Toppin, whatever it is, okay? I watched that kid play at Dayton a few years ago, and I thought he was going to be the steal of the draft. And when the Knicks drafted him, it was like, I think he's from New York. It was a dream come true. And he's been so far as an NBA player, I don't want to call him a bust yet in his second season, but he's definitely been a disappointment. I do want to tell you, I remember the year he was at Dayton when he was first team All-American. I think he was college player of the year about 3 years ago. This kid was doing the dunks. He was doing the dunk between the legs during the game.
Yeah.
Which I don't like that, because now you're being a showboat. You're playing the game. Those dunks are made for dunk contests. And now you're telling me all he did was just chuck it off the backboard to ice it. It's like, all right, where was that? You were doing the creativity thing on the court during games 2 years ago in college, and now I'm just seeing like, eh. I just saw a lot of flailing. Cole Anthony was awful, by the way.
Terrible.
It was just terrible. I mean, like...
Maybe because we're older and we don't know exactly Well, you know who the plays are. Some of the plays I didn't know. Some of the players I knew. Yeah. And it almost seems like they just jumped into this contest. They didn't practice anything. They just said, "Yeah, we're going to do this." And it was more. It was more repeated failed dunks than actual dunks being made.
Yeah,
it's a bad look.
Yeah, and obviously you and I, we hop back to the 80s. We like the Dominique, the Jordan. Of course, Julius Erving before that. That was dunk contest.
Larry Nance.
And of course, as the 90s rolled in, you had Cedric Sabalas with the blindfold.
Yep.
You had D Brown. You had D Brown covering his eyes as he dunks. So, you know, it was creative.
Vince Carter.
You know, yeah, Vince Carter. And of course, even a few years ago, Dwight Howard. I don't like a guy 6'11 in a dunk contest because it's kind of easy for
flair.
The guy. But at least he put on the Superman stuff. And it was
Spud Webb.
Yes, Spud Webb. It was entertaining, okay? And now it's just like...
Rex Chapman.
All right, Mikey Nails making reference to the high flyer, Mr. Basketball in Kentucky, Rex Chapman, who, by the way, you know, he did something. He's had some problems with it after his career with pills, and he's beat it, and he's doing really well now. He did something on a website where he just started, like, blogging, and all of a sudden, it's just like it took off. Mm-hmm. And he does a lot of broadcasting, too. He does some games, some color and stuff. But he's become, like, this internet, like, icon all of a sudden.
He's pulled out of the demon world. He was in a dark place for a long time. Yes. Rex Chapman came into the NBA expecting to be one of the best NBA players of all time. But unfortunately, he held his own, but he was not one of the best NBA players of all time.
Decent career, but didn't live up to it.
No.
Bounced around. I liked him with Phoenix. He had some good years with the Suns. But that 6'4 shooting guard coming out of Kentucky, that kid was the real deal. I watched a lot of games in the late 80s when he was playing for Eddie Sutton out there in Kentucky. And he's, you know, obviously got his life together now, and he's doing really, really well. But it's just those are the old school kind of guys. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't remember him in the dunk contest, but he had to
he
be
was.
In one at some point.
Yeah. You know what's funny? We talk about all the players that have had... problems in the past, and we all have problems. I'm not saying none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. Dean the Dream is not perfect. We all have problems. We all have friends and family that help us through the problems. But one of the NBA players, he's a legend, that had a serious, serious problem, and he came out on top of the world, was Chris Mullin. He had a very serious alcohol problem in college. It carried into the NBA.
Yeah.
And he just pulled out of it. And to this day, if you Google him, he still works out to this day.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite players. And, you know, I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves, but Chris Mullin was in a deep, dark place, and he pulled out. So,
yeah,
I'm just giving him a quick shout-out.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that, Mike. And it's he was a quiet superstar all those years in Golden State when he played with, well, I guess, what they call
TMC.
It, TMC, with Tim Hardaway and
Mitch
Mullin
Richmond.
And Hardaway, and they had Marshall Onis. That was, you know, a lot of good talent there playing for Don Nelson.
Yeah.
But Chris Webber was stud on that team. But Chris Mullin definitely got himself out of, like, as you said, a dark place. And, of course, who doesn't love watching St. John's and Georgetown and Villanova and back in the mid-'80s when you had Easy Ed Pink knee going against Ewing, and yeah, I mean, just you could just throw the names, I get goosebumps.
Unfortunately, Chris Webber is always going to be known for that,
well, for calling a timeout that he didn't have.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it is.
Well, you and I were talking because we got to get into Chump of the Week later, but of course, you know, one of his teammates, of course, Chris Webber, was on the Fab Five at Michigan,
Jim and Juwan Howard,
and he called that timeout that they didn't have. But like I was telling you, how excited and how proud I actually was to see that he ended up being a tremendous analyst for TNT, and something happened there. I don't know where he is now, but I never would have thought seeing that kid at 19, 20 years old playing for Michigan to say 25 years later he'd be an elite analyst. But he really knows his craft. He's
solid.
And he was a great player, had a nice career in the NBA. Yep. Didn't get a championship ring, but all right. So obviously the dunk contest was brutal. We can leave it at that. Three-point contest. All right, Karl Anthony Towns, congratulations. The actual game itself, Michael, and I think you kind of looked at me a little funny today when I told you, like, well, hold on a second. Like, they do a Team Durant versus Team LeBron, so they're picking, like, out of a pool where back in the day, it was East versus West, and you had, you know, Abdul-Jabbar was battling against Moses Malone, and the Chief was coming off the bench, and you had LB. Now it's like, I'm watching the game, and I didn't watch much of it yesterday, but I see, like, Trae Young throws an alley-oop to Ja Morant, and I said, nice play. It was fun to watch,
right.
But wait a minute. Ja Morant plays for Memphis. They're in the West. And I'm looking at Trae Young plays for the Hawks. They're in the East. So, like, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
They're mixing the teams now. So, how do
it
you even...
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, after what you and I saw growing up, seeing it in the 80s and 90s and even 2000s, and, like, to see this now, it's not even enjoyable.
So,
I just
my question is...
Did it?
Here's my question. First of all, let's talk about Curry. He set an all-star game record with 16 threes in a 50-point performance, he won the MVP. So my question is, if the East won or the West won the All-Star game, they got the home court advantage in the championship, correct?
That's how it used to be.
So who gets the advantage now?
Nobody. And I don't, when you say East West, I don't know who East is and I don't know who West is. There is none anymore. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's a debacle.
I can't make heads or tails of what happened. And obviously, LeBron James comes home. The game was obviously Cleveland hosted the All-Star game. So there's already rumblings that, you know, of course, he says he's honored. He hits the game winning shot with a little fadeaway. Wonderful. He's in his hometown. Looks like already he's looking to get himself out of LA. And I got a feeling that he could be back for a third and final chapter in Cleveland. Obviously, the trade deadline has passed, so it won't be this year. But I could see when his contract's up with the Lakers, possibly him returning to Cleveland, a nice young and up-and-coming team that maybe he could take to the promised land once again and go out as a Cleveland Cavalier with a third stint.
I don't agree with that. Don't agree with him going to Cleveland. I don't agree with that at all.
You don't agree with it because you don't like it or you don't think it could happen?
No, of course it's going to happen. It's going to put money in the NBA's
pocket. Well, I don't
know if
it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
No one's
But I don't
that.
Agree. I don't think that these players should just go where they want to go. That's ridiculous. Now, I know there's going to be some people out there saying, because the Lakers are horrible, but they're not as good as they're supposed to be. He just wants to go play with Bronny or some.
No, I don't like the whole, like, I want to play with my son thing. You're almost 40 now and the kid's not even in college. That's not the point. But if his contract's up, I think he had a 4-year deal with the Lakers. I believe this is year 4. If he's a free agent, and I know he's had a propensity to leave teams and leave the cupboard bare. He doesn't care what he leaves behind. I get it. But, like, he has every right as a free agent to go wherever he wants.
How many championship rings did LeBron win with the Lakers?
One.
What did he go there for?
I think
to
he
become
went there,
a dynasty.
I think he went there more because it was L.A., it was the bright lights, and he wanted to do it Miami. I think he wanted the attention. I think
he wanted the dynasty like Jordan?
No, because I think a 4-year span, he's a realist. I think at the age of 34, 35, he knew that like he only had.
So then why do they get all these players and everything? To win another championship?
Well, I mean, picking up Westbrook and the Anthony Davis, who's kind of fizzled, by the way, hurt again, out 4 weeks.
Do you know who had the record before?
Curry?
Yeah.
No, for
Anthony
threes?
Anthony Davis. No, with the points.
Oh,
in
really?
The All-Star game. The kid could perform in the All-Star game without getting hurt, but he can't perform in a regular game.
He just can't stay on the court. But obviously, the All-Star game was a complete joke. Guys chucking it off the backboard. Yeah. It was a complete, you know, obviously.
I'm just not in agreement with LeBron going back to Cleveland at all. I think he's just.
Well, I don't think he re-ups with the Lakers. I think he's just hanging on to play with his son.
I think that if Cleveland, you know, makes the offer and LeBron goes, he's just a slap in the face. Like, you, the fans and not the fans. You're there for the fans, then you leave, and then you go back, and then you leave. It's like, come on.
Well,
that's not how the game's supposed to be played.
No, but that is the way it is, Michael. But unfortunately, that's the era we're in now. But let me tell you something about the whole Laker thing when he went there. No matter what he did there, he's been there 4 years. No matter what he accomplishes there, it'll never be.
No.
It'll never be. He'll never be considered Magic, or he'll never be considered, you know, Kareem. He's never going to be considered really a Laker. Do you know what I'm saying? And he's certainly not Kobe, even though God rest his soul,
he considered a Cavalier? Is he considered Miami Heat?
In my eyes, I would call him a Cleveland Cavalier.
Okay.
Yeah, even though he's got, four rings, two with Cleveland, two with the Heat, one with Cleveland, and one with the Lakers.
Yep.
So, and even the one he got with the Lakers, that was the COVID year. It was kind of crazy. No fans at the end. He got it. I mean, it counts, but it's a little, kind of throwaway kind of year. But obviously the NBA All-Star Game, not what it used to be when you and I were growing up, but a lot of things are not what they used to be. So obviously we're putting a bow on NBA weekend. Teams get back to work, I believe, on Thursday. The Celtics came out of the All-Star break. Jason Tatum played well in the All-Star Game. Celtics have won 9 out of 10, losing to Detroit last week on the last day before the break. So hopefully the Celtics can come back from the All-Star break and continue that defensive intensity and continue to win some basketball
games.
I'm
just going to say this about the NBA. Please make it make sense, NBA. Please go back to the East-West. I'm not aging myself. It just doesn't make sense. Team LeBron, Team Durant. What's next year going to be? Team Curry?
Yeah. Well, you asked me, like, where's Durant? He didn't even play
Davis.
In the game. Durant didn't even play. He was hurt.
The slam dunk contest, change the rules.
Yeah.
Please.
Or cancel it. Don't do it.
Just
don't even
don't have it. Don't change the rules.
I know, but if it's going to be like that, don't have it at all.
No,
that was an atrocity. It was terrible.
It's from where we were and what we've become in the NBA, and I'm not saying I don't watch the NBA because I do watch NBA games. It's just not, you know, it's not that it's not enjoyable. It just seems like that, what's the correct word I'm looking for? The competition is almost like you just come over half court and let it go. I guess that's the new way of playing. Might as well just call it horse. Let's play horse.
It's funny you say that, Michael, because Curry let one go last night from like, I don't know, maybe like 3 feet after half court, and he turned away after
he
shot.
Yeah, enough with the no-look shots.
He knew it was butter, though. Yeah. I mean, I know it. Listen, but that's what the fans want to see. That. It's a little cocky, but it's still, I mean, at some point, I need something to excite me because the game's brutal.
Yeah.
The game's brutal. Everything before it was brutal, the skills challenge, the rookie game, the rookie challenge. Forget it. Point about,
I'm not saying bring Jordan back, bring Bird back, bring Magic back, bring Isaiah back, bring Barkley back, bring Olajuwon back. No, some of these new players have the potential to do all this. They just, they're not pushing themselves. And it seems like it's more, obviously it's money driven and not championship driven.
I agree with you. All right, NBA weekends by the boards. You've been listening to the Sports Chumps on 88.1 FM WELH Providence. The best podcast going right now, Dreamin' Nails, episode 36. We're moving on to college basketball, the Providence College Friars.
Providence Friars, what a game. What a game. They come back from 19 in the second half to win 71-70 in OT. Hats off to Ed Cooley, motivating the players once again. Not my favorite coach, but the guy is getting it done this year. He's getting it done.
Yeah.
In the polls, 11th in the AP, 10th in the coaches' poll, and they are actually in first place in the Big East.
Still hanging on.
Solid.
Villanova's coming hardcore right now. But, Michael, I was very impressed with this win, only because, obviously, you know, after the Villanova loss last week, it could have become a losing streak. They could have let it trickle in and mushroom into a losing streak, and it hasn't happened. So as we stand here in late February, the PC Friars have not lost two games in a row all season, and I think that's a testament to Ed Cooley and his coaching staff to get these kids motivated. When you have to go down to Butler, which everyone says, it's Butler, they're 13-14, whatever.
Team.
That's a team that it's a tough little gym down in Hinkle Fieldhouse to play in, and a PC comes out of there with the 71-70 victory after they scored 20 points at halftime.
Didn't the Celtics used to practice at Butler? Is that...
Well, no, Brad Stevens was the coach there.
No, but where did the Celtics used to practice? It's at some college. There was their practice.
That was Hellenic, and then they coached. Then they practiced it. Oh God,
I thought it was
Wesleyan. It was in Massachusetts. Yeah. So this one obviously is in Indiana. Right. But I think that's the court that actually the movie Hoosiers was played on.
Solid.
Yeah. So that solid. Was yeah, but it's a small gym. Those small gyms are tough to play in sometimes.
The Alumni Hall is one of the best gyms.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. But PC showed a lot of intestinal fortitude to come back in this game, down 19. And it wasn't 19, you know, they were down 19, like 15 minutes to go in this game, second half, and they came back. And of course, Nate Watson with 22, as you alluded to. Noah Hawkley came up big in this game with 15 points and 11 rebounds. And PC found a way, playing without one of their clutch players in Al Durham, who's been out with a sports hernia. And I know you and I don't know much about that injury, but from what I hear, he's been playing with it all year and he's been battling through it. And it just, I guess it got to a point where he couldn't play.
I think I mentioned last week that the Friars are going to make it to the Sweet 16, then maybe the Elite 8, possibly the Final Four.
Yeah, no, you came right out. You didn't lead to the Final Four. I can go back to it because I listened to the show. They're making the Final Four.
Okay.
That's what you said.
Solid.
All right, and you know I love them, but I think that's
right, so
I think that's a little bit of a reach.
I'm going with the Final Four.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I don't know about that one. That one's going to be tough. But it depends on, it all depends on where they get sent, what the draw is, what their seed is. Right now, all the experts have them as a 3, maybe a 4 seed, maybe as high as a 2 seed. But obviously, to stick here and be 11 in the AP poll and 10 in the coaches poll, obviously, you know, a lot of people think they're being disrespected, but they've played a lot of tight basketball games this year. And of course, to find a way to come back after losing to Nova, I think that's very impressive to come out of there Sunday.
Well,
with
a lot of teams after losing a game like that, they would not be motivated. They were just going to throw it all in and say, all right, you know, I'm not motivated. I'm here, but we're going to just go through the motions. But unfortunately, they did not do that. Not unfortunate. They did not do that. They were down by 19. And I think Cooley said, guys, you got two choices. We can look like bums or we can win this game. And they won the game.
Yeah, because you know what? Obviously, PC's having a great year. But, of course, losing to Villanova, everybody's used to losing to Villanova. That's been happening for 15 years with Jay Wright at the helm. So, of course, you'd like to win that game at home in front of your crowd. But, obviously, for them to come back and win a tough game on the road, a battle-tested game in the Big East against, you know, an opponent that you should beat, but you're not, you know, you don't know what's going to happen when you go on the road. And you got one of your best players out in this game, and PC's not a deep team. I've told you before,
no,
with AJ Reeves being out early in the season hurt them. And now you got Al Durham out. Hopefully he comes back soon. They're saying that their likelihood is he obviously is going to play again this year, but they're just not sure if he'll play against Xavier. There's three games left in the season. They host Xavier and Creighton, and of course have to go on the road to face Villanova to end the season, which probably that game will decide the regular season Big East championship. So of course a lot to play for here. The Fry is at 22-3 and 12-2 in the Big East. Things are still looking great for them at 11 in the AP poll. A couple other teams, Michael, obviously Gonzaga stays number one in the polls. They've been steady there all year long. Arizona moves up to two, so there's a lot of stuff going on there. Duke still in that top 10. They had a couple of good wins this week. I know Coach K, I know he's in his last year. He's going to retire.
I was just going
to
say.
He had to leave a game. He didn't feel good the other night. Yeah. I think it's the end of the...
He's got a couple of health things
going on.
Yeah,
I think it's time. I think he knows it, too.
What's his tenure there? How many years?
It's over 40. I think he's been there over 40 years. Solid. I mean, I think he's done his time.
Yeah, he's solid.
And he's already turned it over to the assistant coach, a kid, John Shire, who used to play for him. So, yeah. Of course, he's looking to go out a winner. They got a nice ball club. I don't think they're going to be cutting the Nets down in March, but... Obviously, you think the Friars are going to be in the dance.
Well, you know what? Cooley's got these guys on another level of just, hey, we could do anything.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is in college basketball to have men that are in their 20s that they lose an important game, and it's just all of their competition and their feelings are just down. You know how much energy it takes to motivate them to say, hey, we're better than this. People don't really realize. I'm not a Cooley fan. We've talked about this.
Yep.
He's got something on them. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, to get them to come out of these holes that he's getting them to come out of. They seem to be down 19.
They're climbing. They're climbing. They're clawing. No heart, soul, and blood left on the court. And they're getting the job done. When's the last time you saw any team in Rhode Island doing that? Give me one team that you've seen in Rhode Island. Not the Rams, not the Brown Bears, not what is it, Johnson & Wales Wildcats? Is that what they're called? Not the Johnson & Wales Wildcats.
No.
Bryant Bulldogs.
You know, Michael, sometimes sometimes you can't even put your finger on it. Like we say, like with these teams, like we don't know what they have, but it's the it factor. I don't know what that means. It's an
they
intangible.
Have it.
They have it. They have it.
There isn't really a superstar on that team.
No.
It's the chemistry and. He's got them running on all cylinders, and they're ready to go.
Michael, just to let you know, he did look absolutely checked and exhausted at the end of the game.
Stressed right out
of
his
mind. Bring
them
back from 19 to watch his team, and I don't know if you saw. I saw the last play because I was in transition going to work, and it was just funny. So it was overtime. Jared Bynum front rimmed a couple of free throws that could have iced the game. So now Butler comes down with 15 seconds left. They miss a jump shot. Noah Hawkley gets the rebound in the middle of the lane with about 8 seconds left. Now, of course, he's smart enough to know he's not their best free throw shooter. He's decent. He's looking for Bynum. He may have been looking for Durham for all I know, but Durham was in civvies. He wasn't playing. So he's looking for somebody other than himself to shoot the free throw. He throws it to Manaya, who's okay. Manaya's playing keep away. He don't know what to do with it because he doesn't want to get fouled. So the ball, I don't know who, I think it was Manaya. He just throws the ball to nobody.
He just threw it off court.
Michael, it could have
the time off the clock.
If there was a Butler guy in the vicinity, he could have snagged it and rolled in for a bunny.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. It was like, so the ball.
He did a no look up court. He said, "You got to get the time
ball,
off the clock."
Yeah, but the ball just kept. Luckily, it didn't go out of bounds. What it did was it just rolled up the sideline, and I think Cooley like fielded it. It was right near the bench.
Yeah, he was probably having.
And then the Friars just jumped in with jubilation and went nuts, and it was just a wonderful.
Yeah, it's like
moment.
They won the championship.
It was unbelievable. I'm like, we tried to give it away, but we couldn't. And of course, heartbreak city for the Butler Bulldogs because Lavelle Jordan does a nice job with that team. They're a year or two away, but he's working on it over there.
It's crazy.
So Providence comes out on top. They're at 22-3, 12-2 in the Big East.
I'm giving it up to Ed Cooley. You haven't heard me say that yet.
All right, Mikey Nails, episode 36, coming around on Ed Cooley, up for potentially Coach of the Year nationally. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's looking really good right now.
We need an Ed Cooley bobblehead the next podcast. We need it for a souvenir right here for good luck. We got to find an Ed Cooley bobblehead.
Do you know when I went to the Nova game? I told you I'm big on the yearbook. That's one of my staple things. They don't even make them anymore.
They have like a little sports store right in the dunk.
And that's
they
where
didn't have any bobbleheads?
No bobbleheads, and they didn't have the yearbook.
They have any gear?
Yeah, they had gear.
Shirts, like little...
No, nothing, no. No little toys.
Is that like a COVID-related thing? Did you ask?
The place was busy. I just asked for the yearbook. I asked for the yearbook.
Did you say any bobbleheads?
I didn't see any, and I asked for the yearbook, and I got shunned. They said they don't make it
anymore. You're avoiding the question. Did you ask the cashier if there's any bobbleheads?
I did not.
Shame on you. You need a, you have a Joey Hassett bobblehead. You need a Ed Cooley bobblehead. That's the souvenir. You get that bobblehead, it stays in this bar. They're going to the Final Four.
All right, we're working on an Ed Cooley bobblehead late innings. Well, middle innings here on the Chumps. Late innings in the season for the Fry is 22-3. Loving life right now. Hopefully looking to finish strong with three games left.
If anybody out there listening to 88.1 FM WELH, or if you listen to our podcasts on Spotify, please email Mike or Dean where we can actually possibly buy an Ed Cooley bobblehead.
Nice. Michael, you know sometimes like they give them out like at the game sometimes, yeah. But it's always like the first 5,000. And of course, I'm always late to the dance anyway, so I'm getting there for the tip-off. And some kid one day, like I was trying to work the kid, like he was stockpiling. He had like three Bryce Cotton bobbleheads. I mean, I would have given him a sawbean. I would have given him a 20 spot for it. The kid wouldn't part with it. I don't know if he was like hoarding them or he was giving one to his sister. What are we doing over here? But I couldn't get the Bryce Cotton bobblehead when he was like the hot name in 2014.
We need a Cooley bobblehead.
Ed Cooley doing a great job at Providence, and the Friars are rolling. All right, we're rolling on too here on the Sports Chumps, episode 36. You can pick up all of our episodes on Spotify. Just click the link, thesportschumps.com. And of course, you can email Dream or Nails, preferably Nails, because I'm limited technically. And you can email us at thesportschumps@gmail.com. Did I get it right?
Thesportschumps@gmail.com.
Nice.
Perfect.
All right.
Way to go. How's the week going? We never discussed that.
No, we jumped right in. We didn't even talk. Well, we're doing it a little earlier this week, so My week's just starting. But well,
how was last week?
Last week? Yeah, it was pretty good.
Solid?
Yeah.
Solid week?
Work's busy.
Good.
Busy, busy, busy.
Making the money for the honey?
Yes. I hope so. How about you?
All the time. I'm grinding and grinding and grinding.
Now, I noticed you got like a little bit, you got the white headphones with the white lid tonight, so you're going white on white.
Oh, we got a little bit of a white, kind of an off-white.
Yeah, for any of our Facebook Live listeners that see us, or viewership, you see the new microphones, which
we're moving up.
Which obviously one of our loyal viewers already noticed, like the new microphones.
Yes, solid. Solid notice. Solid. Yes. Got to give it props.
She's sharp.
Solid, yeah.
You're not getting anything.
Absolutely.
You're not getting anything by there. Okay, nope. So she's, and
there's,
I like
no
that.
Need to.
No. Solid. I like the fact she picked up on it. That's, I thought it. That was a big thing today. We got, yes, a lot. You and I have a lot of things to discuss off here.
Yes, we do.
But for now, unfortunately, Michael, I have to move on to a topic that we do every week here. And this one's, usually we're kind of quick with it because we don't want to be too negative too long. But our Chump of the Week segment. This is a tough one. If anybody, obviously you college basketball fans out there, if you were listening or watching yesterday and you saw the end of the Wisconsin-Michigan game, a real ugly incident at the end of this game with former Fab Five, and of course it's his alma mater, now the Michigan coach, Juwan Howard, an ugly incident where he got into a disagreement with the head coach of Wisconsin and threw a couple of haymakers, and I'm just not happy about it, and a lot of people are not. So
the head coach
to get your
of Wisconsin is Greg Gard. Yes. He called a timeout. Because this is all speculation. Greg Gard called a timeout because one of his players lost a sneaker, and Juwan Howard took offense to that. And at the end of the game, when everyone shakes hands like professional athletes, Juwan Howard let him know that he's going to remember this situation. And Greg Gard approached Juwan Howard. Not really pushing him, but he did what most coaches or people do. You put your hand on somebody, or, you know, you just say, hey, listen, let me just explain why I did it. And Juwan Howard reacted, and his reaction turned into, as I would like to call it, a melee. This happened before, if anyone remembers, the Malice in the Palace. That's what it turned into. Juwan Howard open hand slapped him. If you look at the video, he gave him an open hand slap. And then the players for Michigan started throwing haymakers like Mike Tyson against Francis Buta. Remember that guy?
Oh, wow. All right, Neil's alluding to Mike Tyson, another one of Tyson's victims back in the 80s. Wow. We didn't hear that. I haven't heard that name in a long time. But you called it a slap, Michael. I think it was because he was really reaching. It looked like he was trying to punch the guy. And
yeah,
it was like a half punch,
hit him
half slap. It was in between.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm just going to give my take on
this. Wrong. I don't
it's
care.
100% wrong, especially in college. You're trying to groom the players. It's not a good look. Do you have a Juwan Howard bobblehead?
I do not.
A good thing. I was going to say, if you do, throw it up.
Okay.
All right. Now, according to ESPN, Juwan Howard is suspended for the entire season. I think I agree with that. I'm thinking about why I agree with that is because if you're a college coach, we all become hot-headed at some point in sports, in competition. We've all been there. We've all been in the altercations. We've all been in the fights. If it starts leading to physical altercations, well, then there's a problem. Yeah. Now, in college, I think you got to take a step back, be professional, talk about it at the post game, and you say, listen, I didn't accept what he did, and you move on from there. But unfortunately, Juwan Howard let everybody know on national TV and in the arena at that time that, hey, I'm not dealing with this, and he got a slap. His players followed in his footsteps, which is not a good look, but they were protecting him, and they were standing up for him. So I'll give them props on that, but it wasn't the correct way to go about it.
Yeah, it looked to me, Michael, like a few of his players, it's not the first time they've been in a situation like that. They were fine throwing shots and haymakers, and the Wisconsin's kids looked a little more reserved, like, all right, what are we doing over here?
Right.
So I'm just saying, I'm not alluding to how he recruits players. I think he's a frustrated coach right now that Michigan has had a tough season. They came out of the gates this year with a good recruiting class, and they've been a disappointment. I believe they're 14-12. They're off the bubble now for the NCAA tournament, and this is not going to help their resume. And I think you and I just saw the five-game suspension. I think a lot of people are saying rest of the season. I think it's because they're off. They have five games left, so they're saying he's suspended for the rest of the season. I don't know what his status would be if they were to get into the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament.
I'm going to go on a limb and say this, that the real reason Juwan Howard was frustrated is because they lost the game.
Yeah.
There's no other reason why. So what? The coach called the timeout. Big deal. Who cares?
Well, again,
you're losing the game anyways.
Again,
you alluded to that they were pressing. So if you're losing
again,
the game, why are you pressing?
We could do this all day. We talked about earlier, you and I, that one of his kids on Michigan, Greg God's kids on Wisconsin, lost his sneaker. So maybe he was worried about the kid's safety, so he said, let me call timeout. And, oh, by the way, Michigan's pressing with 15 seconds to go in a game that they're losing by 14 that they have no chance to win. So you know what? If you want to play it out, maybe they're going to play it out too. I didn't like the timeout, but like I guess Howard just took offense to it. This is not the first time he's at an altercation with a coach. It goes back to last year when he had an argument with Mark Turgeon, former coach of Maryland. So this is not the first incident he's been in, and I don't know what Turgeon said to set Howard off last year, but where there's smoke, there's fire. When this continues to happen, Michael, you start to wonder about if they have the right guy there at Michigan. I know he's a former player there, but right now, I had told you earlier, my best case scenario for Juwan Howard was that he gets suspended for the rest of the season, and the worst case scenario, I had him getting totally pink slipped. So I think he should feel like he got off easy with just the rest of the season. It's definitely not going to help recruiting going forward.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that they don't have the eye of the tiger and the fire in their eyes to make things happen, but you got to go about it a little differently. You get more with honey than you do vinegar.
You like that one, huh?
That's a solid statement.
No, everybody, we have our certain term. I say swill. We have our different adjectives we throw, but that's your little...
That was definitely a swill move.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Next thing you know, he'll be doing the celebrity boxing. Stop.
Like
Lamar Odom.
And I was telling you how much...
Stick to basketball.
I was telling you how much I've always liked him. I think it's odd, too. Before they hired him 3 seasons ago, and I don't know if you remember this, but Ed Cooley, who I never believed was leaving Providence, but Cooley was talking to Michigan at the time, where they had their coaching vacancy, you know, after John Beilein left, and there was an opening there, and they talked to Cooley, and Cooley ended up staying at Providence. I believe Cooley was just leveraging it to get more money from Providence a little bit, which, okay, to feed your family, you do what you got to do.
Right.
But I believe that Cooley was staying all along, and of course, they ended up subsequently hiring Juwan Howard for the vacant coaching position, and maybe they're starting to wonder about that.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, he's a total sawhead. Like you said, they lost the game, but he's had a tough season when they were supposed to be pretty good this year, and he's feeling the heat that he can't win basketball games.
I'd like to know what the president of Michigan or the AD... the athletic director, the comments or their statements.
I'm
glad that
you,
came out,
Michael.
Already.
Yeah, I'm glad you did mention it. I saw it. I don't have it in front of me, but obviously he said all the right things. The AD at Michigan said it's not something that we condone here. We're ashamed of what happened. He said all the right things, and of course we're going to take the necessary steps going forward to make sure that we get this rectified.
Let
and
me
it
ask you a question
again.
Now, we just saw on ESPN that he was suspended for the rest of the season. Does that include pay?
You know, I always wonder a lot of times with those, Michael, if the school, depending on how close you are with the hierarchy within the organization, whether it's the AD, whether it's the president, if they take care of, like, fines in sports, usually a team sometimes will just take care of it. I would believe, and I would hope, that obviously in this situation, he's suspended for these 5 games without pay.
We all know, and if you don't know, a lot of the college sports coaches in sports programs are supported by the college sports boosters. Now, that in itself is a scam. I do believe that a lot of these players that have their jerseys and the school sells their jerseys should get a profit from it, but they don't. Let's talk about the Fab Five quick. If you watch the ESPN 30 for 30, the amount of merchandise that they sold and the amount of money that they made the school is incredible. And you know how much of a percentage that those
I know, basketball they got players nothing. Got? Allegedly, some of the guys were, you know,
well, there was some scams going on and all that. They did not make any money off the merchandise, you know, which one of the guys, I think is wrong.
Yeah, and one of the guys, I think, one of the writers said, I knew Chris Webber. I saw him. If he was taking money, he didn't show it because he lived very poorly at that time.
But what's your opinion on if you do sell merchandise and your name and your number is on the back of that jersey, who should get the percentage of the profit? Who should get some? Do you think that the players should get a percentage of the profit?
Oh God, Michael, that's so tough because you know I want to say it definitively that they should get a percentage because like you said, you're using their likeness. Mm-hmm. It's tough for me to say that because I just feel like, I'm sorry, you go to college, you're getting a free education. I know these kids are poor, but you're getting a free education. Most places, $80,000 to $100,000 of an education for 4 years. And you know, a lot of these guys want to leave after 1 year. They think they're going to big time it for the pros. You're getting a free education. You're getting a chance in life. I just can't see. I think you're opening up Pandora's box to start paying guys for selling jerseys.
Right, so I'm going to compare it to something, and you give me your opinion. You're a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say where you work. Okay, your business buys the alcohol. You serve the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You make a percentage of selling that alcohol. You get tipped. It's the same thing with the sports. If the college is granting permission to print the shirts and the players are wearing it on the basketball court and all the fans are screaming and buying a Chris Webber jersey or a Juwan Howard jersey
mm-hmm.
or a Michael Jordan jersey, Give me a new player that just came into the NBA. Just anyone.
Jai Morant.
Someone buys a Morant jersey, and they don't get a percentage of it after playing all those games. And every time you go to the stadium, that number is embedded in your head. And when you go to Target or you go to the souvenir store or go to Dick's or you go online or you go to Amazon and you buy a number 23,
I know
they're not getting a percentage of it. To me, that's horrible.
I know. I'm just sorry that at that time, Michael, they're still just amateur athletes. I know that they generate revenue, but like I said, without that free education, a lot of those kids wouldn't be able to afford to go to school anywhere. They wouldn't be able to showcase their talents.
And with a lot of the players not playing the sports that they do, the school is not making money off the tickets.
Okay. You think some of these guys that are really good, like these one and done guys, you think they care how they're leaving their school when they go?
They absolutely don't care. But
okay. So it's give and take.
I'm not saying that. But the school, the colleges are using the kids to make money. Obviously, you're selling tickets, it goes toward the program and all that stuff. So that's a conversation we could save for later, but I don't agree with. That's just something I don't agree with. I'm sure we're going to have some comments up on the Facebook Live thing. I'm sure we're going to have some comments after people hear the show. That's just my opinion. I believe if you wear a number on your back with your name, that you should get some percentage if you sell that jersey.
Yeah, Michael, I'm glad you brought up the monetary part of the whole thing because GC, one of our loyal listeners, and he's viewing tonight, said that Howard should get a hefty fine for this.
Absolutely.
And whether he's paying, and you brought it up right after he said, and I'm saying to myself, I'm chuckling because I'm saying the guy played in the NBA for 15, I think he played like 18 years, played a long time. He played till he was 40. I think he got a ring with Miami as a cheerleader, but he wasn't even playing at the time. But I'm just saying the guy made over $130 million in the NBA over a long career. So if you hit him in the pocket these last five games, you're not going to make or break him.
No.
This is bigger than money. This was an awful thing to do.
Well, you represent the school.
You lost your cool on national TV.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it would make it right if the game wasn't televised, but he lost it in front of everybody. That's going to be tough for Michigan to move forward from.
Absolutely. He's no Steve Fisher.
No. Definitely not a class move. And Juwan Howard is our chump of the week here on the Sports Chumps, episode 36. You know what number Juwan Howard wore?
Tell me.
At Michigan, he wore 25.
Okay.
And a lot of his NBA career, he wore 5.
Okay.
So, of course, it's right up on the screen there as he's, finger in the face, the whole nine yards.
Here comes the open hand, watch.
Dreamin' Nails.
Coming, watch.
Dreamin' Nails watching the reenactment of it, about to throw like a punch / slap. I don't know what it is.
See, there it was, the open hand.
The open hand.
Yeah, and then come the haymakers. Tyson against Buta, it's coming.
Yeah, and then ugly incident. Yeah. So obviously the Big Ten's not happy with it, and it's just not a good look.
All right, we've given Juwan Howard enough airtime; he doesn't deserve any more.
All right, we're moving on, Michael. It's this day in sports history. Okay.
Solid. Where are we going?
It's funny. I did Olympics last week, but the Olympics obviously wrapped up last night, I believe. So I just wanted, this is as iconic as it gets. Although, let me say it before you tell me what you think. On February 24th, 1980, this was actually like when they sort of wrapped up the Olympics in Lake Placid, New York.
Mm-hmm.
But this is when USA ice hockey team, they won the gold medal with a 4-2 win over Finland. Okay.
Okay.
And of course, obviously, that's the pinnacle. You win the gold medal, you would think. But of course, you and I both know this piggybacked off of the 4-3 win over the obviously the heavy favored Soviet Union,
yes.
Which of course to this day is called, you got it, go Michael.
Is it, do you believe in miracles?
It's the miracle on ice.
Yes.
So of course, everybody, you know, forget a lot of, you and I talked about this before in prior podcasts.
That they always think that that's a championship game.
Exactly. It's not, of course. And I think they were trailing against Finland too in the final, but they
didn't
went
somebody
up,
just pass on that team. Was like,
yes,
a tragic.
I forgot the guy who passed. Mike Ruzioni was on that team. The Massachusetts native Herb Brooks was the head coach. Jim Craig was the goalie. They did lose one of their members about not even a month ago. He passed away. So it was sad. I don't have the name.
Shout out to sorry to the family of the passing of that person.
Yeah.
We are with you.
But of course, that's an iconic moment. To me, it's still like, it's not the whole Al Michaels, do you believe? But a day later, they win the gold medal versus Finland. And of course, that was the day they wrapped up the, because when I was looking at the dates, they actually wrapped up the, the services and of course the whole Olympics.
They do the final.
Exactly. The closing.
Yeah, the closing.
You got it.
Ceremonies.
So,
yeah.
Wonderful time there. So I just thought that was something to hit on. So that is this day in history.
Miracle on ice.
Yep.
Wow, 1980.
February 24th, 1980. I was 9.
I was 8. I was 8 years old.
I got a year on you, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, late innings here on the Sports Chumps. Dream Nails getting it done early in the week as the chairs kind of going back and forth. I know, a new chairs. I got it. What else you want to add? We got to do the Wheeler Report. And a couple of scores.
Yes.
Throw that along.
What else do I want to add? I just want to see this Juwan Howard thing get past us, and I hope that the players don't really go on with their careers and act like this.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Michael. We haven't talked much about the hockey, the Bruins. We talked about Tuukka Rask retiring.
We talked about that last week. Yep.
He gave it a shot, and he came back, and I think you gave him his due as far as like what he was to the game of hockey.
He was solid enough, and he was man enough to say, you know what, I can't do it anymore. I'm retiring. Let's give it to the next guy in line, and that's what he did.
Yeah, the Bruins had a nice win, Michael. Something to be happy about, beating Colorado 5-1 on Monday. David Pastrnak, he's been lighting up the lamp since the first of the year. He has 19 goals, which leads the league. Taylor Hall had a nice game with 3 assists. And, of course, Patrice Bergeron back from what they believe to be a concussion, which wasn't. So that was good news. He comes back and scores his 13th goal. So the Bruins are back on track. They're still in second place for that for that second wild card. So things are looking pretty good for the Bruins.
Solid.
Hopefully, like I've told you before, with hockey, it's get into the dance. If you're the 8 seed, you got a chance. Just get in.
Let's do a little baseball quick. They had the meeting. The meeting lasted 15 minutes, and they had a lot of things to talk about. Didn't make sense. So where do we stand with that?
You know, like right now, like I said, spring training, you're already past due. Your pitches and catches were supposed to report, so we're already passing
deadlines. Seasons are already kind of all messed up.
You know, I and here's the thing. Hopefully, they can figure out something else. This meeting that lasted 15 minutes, that doesn't sound good. But then they counted and said, well, they got things planned next week. They got 4 or 5 things that are on the table that they're going to get to and talk about. Well, then why were you only in a room for 15 minutes? Did someone have to?
They better get moving on this whole baseball debacle, or we're going to be watching badminton instead of at Major League Baseball.
All right, Mikey Nails alluding late innings here on the Chumps to sports that are not really sports, so it's brutal. America's pastime, please. Baseball's in my blood. I need it. I mean, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't be begging for it right now, but I feel like I am. It's just brutal. It's brutal. These guys make so much money. Even before this lockout, Max Scherzer signs a 3-year deal for $140.
Some giant contract they just offered some guy. You were telling me about it last
week. Well, Juan Soto got offered $350 by the Nationals. I love Juan Soto. I know. They can't offer it now because they're locked out. They said before the lockout, there was a rumor that he was offered that much. And by the way, just so you know, this is going to really upset you. He turned it down. So, no, I guess, no, listen, he's a young kid, so he's
got... What does he want, 550?
No, well, I guess he's saying he wants to wait for free agency, and maybe he feels like he can max himself out. I don't know the guy personally. Maybe he doesn't want to be in Washington. Maybe he's looking for a bigger market. I don't know. But, I mean, to turn down 350...
Hey, you can when go to China
and
play.
When you turn down 350 and you and I have to grind it out to make a week's pay, it's a little bit discouraging. And that, so I'm not feeling bad for anybody who's locked out or striking or anything like that. Just get back. Give us our game back. We love the game. I love what goes on between the lines. And that's really all that matters, Mike.
Yeah. Make it happen. Do the right thing, guys.
All right, Michael, I'm moving on. I just got a few scores. I got a few scores on the Wheeler Report.
Wheeler Warrior Spotlight.
Yep, Wheeler Warrior Spotlight for the week. Over the weekend, the boys hoops team, nice win here. 62-48 over Johnston, my hometown. Well, all right, whatever. Anyways, and the hockey team had a couple of good W's. They beat Lincoln 6-3 on Saturday night, and also had a 3-1 win over the Cranston West Scituate Co-op. So, all positives here across the board for the Wheeler Sports.
Shout out
programs.
To Wheeler Sports.
Always getting it done.
Getting it done.
Competitive, having fun, building relationships. I think that's kind of what it's all about.
I want to give a quick shout out to JV. Basketball player for Wheeler, Kara. She got the MVP of the last game. Most valuable player. Shout out to Kara.
Nice.
Solid.
Yeah.
Solid. Solid player. Wonderful athlete. Great human being. Solid in school. Her grades are phenomenal, and she is going to be an excellent, excellent athlete. So shout out to Kara.
Nice. So she's got a future.
Absolutely.
It's got to start somewhere.
MVP. And she's not even a basketball player. She's not even close.
That's what they told me. I never got MVP of the JV team.
No. Did you ever get MVP of anything?
Yeah.
What? Bowling?
I don't know off the top of my head right now. MVP? I've had some accolades. I mean, not a lot. I don't like to talk about
MVP?
Myself.
What?
MVP? I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe MOD, Master of Disaster.
All right, nails, like minor insults, late innings here on the Chumps. I don't like to talk about the accolades much, but I've had some moments.
When you're on
life.
The bump, you're solid. You're solid.
I try.
You got the gear on right now, so.
Michael, I know we're up against it here. I don't know.
No, we got 4 minutes.
Okay, so I just wanted to let you know, when I think about the whole JV thing, and of course these kids that are playing JV, most of them are like freshmen, sophomore, and juniors, and obviously and eventually, you know, the varsity is where they land at some point.
Yep.
But have you ever seen the movie The Hall Pass? Okay.
Nine.
Oh, Michael, come on. So it's with Owen Wilson,
yeah.
and I forget the other guy's name. Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're talking about like something.
You like those corny, cheesy movies.
They're so fun. That was so funny. So, they're talking about getting the hall pass from their wife so they can get a week off of marriage, okay? Yeah. ELH, ELH, ELH. I get it. I'm going to keep it clean here on the Chumps. But they sit there and they go, hey, you remember that year that we dominated JV basketball? He goes, yeah, senior year. And anybody who can't pick up on that, but it was hilarious. You got to listen to it. I'm saying, I said, wait a minute, senior year? I remember back in the day, if you don't make the varsity by your senior year, you're toast. You either have to play varsity or your history. You can't be playing, you know, JV as a senior. He's like, yeah, that year we dominated. He goes, yeah, we got the roar of the crowd. I'm like, well, they're still playing JV as seniors, but they were totally delusional and didn't realize that they
ball pass.
Yeah, oh, solid. Solid movie. You know who's in that? Before he was anybody, was J.B. Smoove, who plays Leon on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's funny, so there's a lot of good people in that.
That's why you really watched it.
No, because actually
you
saw
Owen Wilson?
I like Owen Wilson. Yeah, he's been in a couple of things. Me, You, and Dupree. Few nice movies.
The Wedding Crashes.
Wedding Crashes, solid. And his brother Luke Wilson was in Old School. So they mix it up a little bit. He was in Blue Streak with Martin Lawrence. Luke was.
Yeah, you're going back to
so,
the 90s.
All right, we're going movies here. A little bit of entertainment here on the Chumps. Late innings. Nails got tooled and maddened in the pregame. I didn't want to say anything, but when he told me we had 4 minutes left, I knew I could trickle it in there. The second game was 13-10. It was
down,
a bond burner.
I'm down 2 in a row tonight. We're in a race to 20. Dean's up 10-1.
All right, Nails
so,
needs to
I'll
go
admit
on
a, it. I'm not good at the Madden.
Nails needs to go on an epic run. He scored. I think he scored 2 touchdowns.
I'll
in
tell
eight
you
quarters.
What, though. If the race to 20 and I hit 20, he's never going to hear the end of it. I will ride him out until the days of Adi Goth.
All right, Nails is waiting for me to cave. I'm up 10-1. I need 10 more W's to get to the promised land. That was supposed to be, obviously, for another dinner, but I'm trying to cash in on the dinner I owe you.
Right.
But you've been difficult. That's
yeah,
been difficult.
Being difficult. I don't like going out anymore. I'm turning into a homebody. I gotta start DJing on the weekends again. It's, you know, it's a lot. I had 2 jobs in DJing. by Sunday this week, if anybody says one word to me and wants to hear a request, it's going to be a problem. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. WELH.
You always clean. Listen, when you always say you're tied DJ, once you got the mic going and once you've got your little sound system, you're dialed. And there's yeah. No, let me tell you something. I've been to a lot of places. I'm not a big go-to. Never in my life have I gone to a place for entertainment purposes. But when you're rocking the mic and the DJ, and there's nobody better.
I appreciate that.
No, I mean that. I've seen
it's like
a lot,
you with the sports.
I've seen a lot of hackers doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of hackers out there.
You know, so obviously.
I mind my business, keep to myself, and I make people dance. That's all I do.
No, and listen, you're terrific at it. Listen, you wear a lot of hats. I got to give you credit. You get a lot of things done during the course of a week.
I try.
Mean, I kind of think keep things a little more simplistic.
I noticed.
Okay, this is we're going to put a bow on episode 36 here on the Sports Chumps. For my broadcast partner, Mikey Nails, I'm Dean the Dream, and you have been listening to The Sports Chumps on 88.1 FM WELH. Enjoy your week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want y'all to listen, listen to every word I say, every word I say. Trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our show together, gonna polish up our act. Wow. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Ain't no stopping us now. cause it ain't no.
See, we go.